Today's daf is daf mem tes. So the Gemara had been having a discussion what exactly machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva was about collecting from Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Karmo, Yishalem, paying from the Nizak, paying from the Mazik. How do you evaluate, assess what the Edis is, what the most, the qualitatively best property is? So it was a little bit unclear what they were arguing about. So after making a couple of suggestions, the Gemara finally says in the bottom of Mem Ches Mem Beis, the last line, so El Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So he says, you know, the machlokas is about halacha b'mayaskinam kigon shehayisa idis denizak kiziboris demazik. The situation where the best land of the nizak was like the cheapest land of the mazik. So the mazik had much more expensive property. So let's say his scale of 3-1. So his lowest, the mazik's lowest property was equal to the nizak's highest property. That's where they met. So that's the situation here. So machlokas is that Rabbi Shmuel Savar b'din nizak shaminan. You go based on the nizak. So the nizak's property pays highest value, which for the mazik is not such a big deal because that's his lowest property. But you go based on the edis, the metav of the nizak. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Savar b'din mazik shaminan. You go based on the mazik. So no, even though the nizak's highest value land is much lower, you go to the mazik's edis, which is much, much higher than the nizak's property, and you go based on the mazik. So again, Rabbi Yishmael goes based on the nizak, and Rabbi Kiva goes based on the mazik. That's what the machlokas is about.
What are you holding?
The top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph now. Just explain the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael. So again, Rabbi Yishmael holds you go based on the nizak. That's how you evaluate the edis. Rabbi Kiva says you go based on the mazik, and that's how you evaluate the properties for nizikin. So the Gemara says four lines down in Memtes, my time of the Rabbi Shmuel. What was Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning that he thinks you go based on the Nizak? So it says, look at the Pasuk. Nemra Sada Lamatav, Nemra Sada Lamala. It says Sada two times in the Pasuk. So the Pasuk reads, on the side here, it says, V'chi yivar ish Sada, O Kerem, V'shilach as Biro. It's talking about a situation of Ish, person sent a fire to his field, and it burns the field or the Kerem. Uvir b'sade acher meitev sadeu meitev karmo yishalem. You have to pay the value of the sade and the value of the karen that was destroyed. So says Rabbi Shmuel. So just like the sade that's talking about in the beginning of the pasuk, when you burn someone's field, it's talking about the nizak ma sade hamura lemala din nizak. Everyone agrees the beginning of the pasuk is talking about the nizak. The nizak, it says the nizak's land gets burnt. So af sade hamura lemata. So too when it says so at the end of the pasuk of Meitav Sadeh, when it's talking about paying the field, that's also going to be the Nizak. That's how Rabbi Shmuel understands you evaluate based on the Nizak's property. Comes along Rabbi Kiva. He says, no. Savar Meitav Sadeh Shalem Dahayach the Kamishalim. He's talking about what you're using to pay back. So the Mazik's paying back a field. The Mazik has no money. He's supposed to pay money. He doesn't have any money. All he has is property. So he's paying back a sada. He's paying back his own field. So it's the mazik sada that it's referring to. So the Rabbi Kiva says it's not a gezer shava. The pasha pshat is referring to the mazik sada. And that's the machlokas. So the Gemara says, not a problem. Rabbi Shmuel says, ahani gezer shava va'ani kra. They're both true. You're right. The pasha pshat, the pasuk meitav sada is referring to the mazik sada. But there's also, I have a masora of a gezer shava that the sada is referring to the beginning of the pasuk. That's the nizak sada. It's not a stira. They're both true. I could have them both be working here. How? So he explains. Ahani gezer shava l'chadamram. The gezer shava is still effective that you go based on the nizak, like I explained. That you always evaluate based on the nizak's property, the edus, the meitav of the nizak. But also a honey crud e islay mlamadic edis viziboris viziboris de day low shavi kidis denizak de mishalim laid memetav. I could create a situation, not a far fetched situation, where even sometimes you have to pay based on the mazik's edis. Even though normally I hold it to go based on the nizak, sometimes you go based on the mazik. When is that? So again, it's where the mazik and the e islay lamazik edis viziboris. The mazik has a high level property and a low level property. And the Ziboris today, his low-level property is not equal lo shavya k'idis denizak, does not equal the edis of the nizak. Now, in general, Rabbi Shmuel says you have to go based on the nizak's property. But his nizak, the nizak's property is much higher than the Ziboris of the mazik's property. So in that situation, then you have to be mishalim le mimeitav. So again, let's call them numbers. Let's say they call them ABC. That's not going to work out well. We need values here. Let's rate the land from 0 to 100. So the mazik So first, the Nizak's highest property is worth, let's say, 75. That's a rate of 75. So now you have to, the Mazik has to pay 75 quality land to the Nizak. Problem is, he only has a 25 and 100 quality. So 25 is too low. It's not going to match the Nizak's Edis. At the same time, the 100's way too high to match the Nizak, so it's not fair. So in that situation, says Rabbi Shmuel, you would go base, better go higher, pay the Mazik's Edis. Even though in general, you only have to pay the Nizak's Edis, which would be 75.
We're talking about this. They all pay the same amount. Is that from what they pay?
Exactly, the quality.
Meaning how many acres or how many they have to give.
Exactly.
Like he might have to have a tremendous amount. Okay,
maybe it's a very,
he has to give like a whole...
Exactly, but if it's a very nice plush right. land...
But they always get the same amount of value of money.
Exactly, value is always there, the question is quality.
Okay.
So again, so let's say the Mazik doesn't have quality land that matches the high quality land of the Nizak, so then the Mazik would pay base whatever above that 75, the next highest quality land that he has. And that's when you would go based on the Sada of the Mazik. Even then, Rabbi Shmuel agrees, sometimes you do go based on the Mazik's Sada. Okay, so that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. This Gemara also appears, very similar Gemara, if not exactly the same, appears in Baba Kama as well. So Gemara now says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba kasav ela legavos l'nezikin min ha'idis. Right, so Rabbi Kiva argues, and he says, the Pasuk only tells me, only again, lo ba kasav ligvos l'nezikin min ha'idis. The Pasuk's not telling me, it's only telling me that you collect the nezikin from the best, the most qualitatively best property that's there. The kal v'chomer lehekdesh and a kal v'chomer to hekdesh as well. So Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? My kal v'chomer lehekdesh. What is kal v'chomer we're learning to hekdesh?
So he says that it doesn't apply to gittin or to... Is that what he's trying to say?
So the way we're understanding it right now is, he says, Rashi explained in yesterday's daf, that the pasuk's come to you, machmir, that you don't go based on the nizak's property, rather you go based on the mazik's property. The situation where the Nizak's property is much less than the Mazik's, you still go based on the Mazik's Edis. It's a Chumrah. But then he adds a statement of Kal v'chomer lehekdesh. So what's the Kal v'chomer lehekdesh? What exactly is Rabbi Kiva referring to here? So Gemara analyzes the statement, my Kal v'chomer lehekdesh. Ilema did nagchei Torah didan the Torah dehekdesh. Let's say it's a situation where my shore, or let's say my car, damaged the car or the shore of a hekdesh owned animal. Shorei Eyu, Amar Rachman, the Torah says, V'chi yigov shorei ish esr, shorei Eyu, v'mesu machwas ha-shor v'chatzi ha-chai v'chatzi es kaspo. You pay chatzi nezek only when my shore is going to damage your shore, re'ehu. But if my shore is going to damage a hektish own shore, the drush is, shorei Eyu, Amar Rachman, the Gemara says, v'lo shor shel hektish. If my shore damages a hektish own shore, I'm pater from nezikim. So that can't be the case where he says, kavachom le hektish, with certainly in the case of hektish, then you pay from the metav, you pay from the edis, because you're pater from any damage that takes place to a shore hektish. So Ella, what does it mean, a kavachom le hektish? Ella must be a case of Omer, Harei Alai Mana Lebedek Abayis. I take upon myself that I'm going to dedicate a mana to the Beis HaMikdash in order to fix and maintenance work on the Beis HaMikdash. Thus, the Gizbar comes along, the Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, Vishakal Me'idis, he takes from the best property of mine. He goes back, you owe $100, you have no money, I'm going to take some high quality land worth $100. So the response is, that's not fair. Lo Yehei Ella Bachov. I owe a land. I took upon myself a pledge to give $100, so I owe money now. It's a loan. And when it comes to a loan, we only pay Beinus. So why is the Gizbar going to take from the best of my land? So that's what he's saying. That's the Kal v'chomer to Hektish. Hektish also is different than a normal halva, and you collect from Edis instead of Beinus. Where I said, wait a second, V'chi Tema, Kesavar, Rabbi Kiva, Balchov, Shakil, Beidis, Kinezikin. Wait, maybe Rabbi Kiva in general holds that a Baal Chov doesn't hold collect Beinonis, like the Mishnah says. Maybe he has a unique opinion that even when it comes to a Baal Chov, he collects from the Edis as well, just like Nezikin collects from Edis. Maybe that's what he holds. So therefore, that would answer the question again. The Gemara was asking before, it's not fair. What does it mean? I dedicated money to the Beis HaMikdash, so I should be a Baal Chov. He should only be able to collect from the Beinonis, not the Hektesh, rather not Edis. So why is he collecting from Edis? So maybe the Gemara suggests, maybe in general, Rabbi Kiva holds the Bachov also collects from Edis, so that's fair. If I owe money, collect from the Edis. If I owe money to the Hektish, I also collect from Edis. There is no kasha. But you can't say that. You can't make a Kal v'chomer that way. Because Ikala Mifrach, you can ask the question, Mal Balchov, Shekain Yofa Kocho Benizikin, Tomer behekdei shekin hura kocha benizikim. So let's grant it for a moment that Rabbi Kiva holds that a balchov owes edus. Let's say that's true. We're not going to prove it, but let's say it's true. Even if it is true, it's possible only when it comes to a hedyot working with each other, two hedyotim, where in general a hedyot has a greater strength. If I damage another hedyot, I owe money to him in Nezikin. So maybe that's where you could say a kavachomer of having him pay edus in the world of Nezikin. But in the world of Hektish, if I damage Hektish, like we said before, Hektish doesn't collect money. Hektish has a lower hand. So you can't say kavachomer that if I damage Hektish, I'll also owe edus. Again, we're trying to prove right now there's some kavachomer which we don't know yet.
We're trying to say that Hektish is more chomer than Nezikin.
Exactly, because you can't apply kavachomer anymore. The only way to apply kavachomer is if hektesh is greater, more stringent than that of hedyot.
Even if Rabbi Akiva would hold that you pay a loan on edus, you still have the pasuk of shor of
which shows that hektesh is a lower
right.
type of it's not a chomer, it's kal.
Right.
So you can't prove, you can't use a kavachomer yet to say if Nezikin in general.
Right,
that's what we're. Right, I mean the suggestion right now is maybe in general Rabbi Kiva holds that a Balchov owes edus. Let's say that's the case, the Balchov owes edus. So just because, so you're going to say, since in general a Balchov owes edus, kavachomer hektesh, a guy who owes a Balchov to hektesh, I took upon myself a pledge, certainly that guy should also pay edus. Of course, it's not true, because there's a difference. Hedyot, in general, even though we're talking about a balchov, but there is a certain deficiency that a hektish has in general. A hedyot has to pay, the hedyot has to pay nezikin. If there's damage, hedyot has to pay nezikin.
Right.
Hektish, if you damage hektish, you don't have to pay nezikin. So just like there's a leniency in the world of hektish when it comes to nezikin, there also might be a leniency when it comes to balchov, owing money to hektish, and you may not have to pay Edus to the Hektish. So there's no right that way.
Does Shor Re'ehu teach us for every type of Nezik? Is that what we learned from
it's
there?
Talking about Negicha only.
Only Negicha.
Right.
So right now the Kavachomer is only not good because of Negicha.
Exactly. So Gemara says, so what exactly is this Kavachomer LeHektish that Rabbi Kiva is referring to? Rabbi Kiva, Savalak, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. There's this Shita out there, the Das Yachid, where now Rabbi Kiva might hold of him, so it might be two people. He holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who holds the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Omer Shor Shel Hektish, Shenogach L'Shor Shehedyo. If a Hektish owned animal comes and damages my Shor, he's Potter. He gets off the hook. The treasury, the Beis Hamikdash does not pay any money to me. Not fair, but still that's how it works. V'shel Hedyot, Shenogach L'Shor Shel Hektish, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, B'Shal Mezek Shom. It's a double standard here. But when my Shor damages Hektish Shor, then I will have to pay the full amount. And not only the full amount when it's a shor muad, even if it's a shor tam, it's a first offense where normally I don't have to pay a chatzi nezek to another friend. When it damages hektish, I need to pay the full amount. So it's a big double standard here, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh.
Does it show the limit from it or not? We don't know.
The Gemara doesn't show the limit from it. The Gemara is in Baba Kama do. Let's see if Rashi does.
Yeah, there's a whole long...
Yeah, Rashi says, yeah, exactly. See, look at Rashi, two wide lines down. He says, Mishalim nezek shalim. You pay the full amount. Vidar, so what's the drasha? Doesn't the pasuk say re'ehu only for sure? And it sounds like you're potter if it's not your re'ehu. So he says, darish re'ehu, hachi re'ehu hu di mishalim chati nezek. When my shor damages another guy's shor, I pay chati nezek. Aval hektish, if it nezek shalim, but hektish, it would be, if I damage that, I wouldn't pay chati nezek, I'd pay nezek shalim. It's the opposite direction. So everyone agrees you don't pay chati nezek, but is it a leniency, you pay nothing right to Hegich, or you pay above the full amount, and that's the drasha he makes. And the other way, Rashi says, Ulagavi Hezek Hektish, now when Hektish damages my property, Dar Shachi, you make the following drasha. L'Re'ehu Dimichayev, only when you cause damage to your friend of a Hektish, Hilk Ziku Pater. But Hektish does not have a friend. There's no Re'ehu in dealing with Hektish, and there's no Nezik in what to talk about. So that's his
Which
position.
Makes sense because they're going to Chumrah with Hektish.
Right.
I mean,
it's unfair to the guy who's a little lost the shore, but
whatever.
That's what it is. So that's what's going on here right now. So the Gemara says, so since Rabbi Kiva holds that, again, the Hektesh actually does collect if a person damages a shor hekdesh. That's the case here. The kavah chomer hekdesh, just like in general, you have to pay the edus. So too, when there's damage to the hekdesh, you also have to pay edus. That's the kavah chomer. Because again, what's the kavah chomer? If in general on the short time you pay chati nezek to re'ehu, but if it's a short time to a hekdesh, you pay a nezek shalem. So there's a chumrah by hekdesh. So certainly in general, when you pay property for nezikin to a hekdesh, you should have to pay edus. Just like when you pay to a hedyot, you need to pay edus. So Gemara says, "Ihachi, that's the case. Mimai de beidus de nizik kiziboros de mazik pligi. How do you know? How do you know that once you say Rashi says once we establish that Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Benatia, that hekdesh has the upper hand in both directions when it comes to nezik? So why do we have to really struggle to say the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel above? Is it about whether you mazik, whether you shy minin between the nizik or the mazik? Do you evaluate the nizik's property?" Or the mazik's property. Let's just say very simply, the machlokas is as follows. Really, dilma chuliyama b'dinizak shaminun. Really, everybody agrees that pasuk above sadeu had a gzeir shava, just like the beginning of the pasuk sadeh refers to the nizak's property being burnt. So to the sadeh at the end of the pasuk means you pay based on the nizak's property. And there's no machlokas there.
So that would be that Rabbi Shmuel on that part holds like Rabbi Akiva before.
The other way around, no, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Kiva holds mazik. Before this, we've holding Rabbi Kiva holds of mazik. Now we're saying maybe even Rabbi Kiva holds
mazik.
Yeah. So now Rabbi Kiva really agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. It goes based on the needs. Like we're trying to limit machlokas, and we don't like to have a lot of debates. So really, they are all in agreement. So what's the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? V'hacha, v'plukas to the Rabbi Shimon b'Benasya, Rabbanu k'mithlgi. They're arguing about whether or not hekdesh is subject to the halachas of nizik, like we said above, that the Rabbi Kiva savar l'Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, and that's why he says old kavachom lehekdesh. Hekdesh does get payment; you have to pay hekdesh edus to hekdesh. And Rabbi Shmuel savar l'Kurban, he holds no. Only when it comes to a hedyot, are you mazik? Do you have to pay money and you go based on the nizak? But he says that when it comes to a hekdesh, then there is no payment to a hekdesh. So maybe that's the machlokas. So Gemara has a few questions which really rejects this possibility. Firstly, the Gemara says, "Im kainav, that's the Gemara."
So, but we're holding, it's Abaye who said that.
This
right? Is... Right, that's how it starts. Like, why do we have to hold? Why do we want to change it? What's the reason that we want to change it?
So the discussion that's shown them, they're really hard to understand because they're very easily rejected, as we'll see. Rashi says it sounds like a very dochic way to explain the Gemara. To say it's about Nizak versus Mazik, he's not. Uh-huh. Tosa has a whole other discussion also. Why are you making such a suggestion here?
Okay.
The question is not the strongest question because the Gemara is going to have a few questions and quickly get rid of that suggestion. I thought maybe the simple understanding of the Gemara is we're trying to limit machlokasim. We don't try to have more machlokasim. So if we could say it's about one thing as opposed to two different things, because right now what we've said is they're arguing about mazik versus nizak, and there's a second machlokas, does hekdesh get nezik or does not get hezik? So two debates here. Let's just put it together, and really it's only one debate. They're not arguing about the first case. The first case, everyone agrees you go based on nizak. They're only arguing about the second point of hekdesh and nezikin. So the Gemara says, Imkain, if that's the case, the last two lines here of Mem Tesam and Aleph, it says, Imkain, if that's the case, my lo ba kasev. When Rabbi Kiva says, lo ba kasev, elo ligvos min ha edis, what was the line? So, right. So that first line, lo ba kasev, sounds like he's arguing on what Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a hedyot collecting money. And, right, I think Rashi has a different interpretation of how to read that line there. And then number two is, v'od, my kavachom lehektish. So Rashi says here, the last two lines of the Rashi, my kavachomer lehekdesh dekamar hova kulahi heichimatzi lememar kavachomer demakilin nami gave hekdesh. So what's the question he's asking there? Right, so it doesn't make sense. If we're mekil on the mazik who's damaging a hedyot, so now we're saying a kavachomer, you should be mekil on the mazik who's mazik hekdesh as well. But it doesn't make sense because the mazik is actually, we're more machmir on the mazik when it comes to the world of hektish. Right, I'm unclear how to read this question exactly. Let's see this again. Saying Rabbi Kiva is machmir on the mazik to pay edus. Okay, remember the goal of Kav HaChomer of the Hekdesh was trying to prove to us that the Mazik Hekdesh is a Chomer on the Mazik. Now that Kav HaChomer of the Hekdesh that there's a Chomer on the Mazik only makes sense if he holds Nezikin in Hedyot, there's a Chomer on the Mazik also. If we're Machmer for the Mazik in Nezikin of Hedyot, certainly it should be Machmer in the Mazik for Hekdesh as well.
Right.
But now it turns out, according to the suggestion, Rabbi Kiva actually holds you go based on the Nizak, like Rabbi Shmuel, not based on the Mazik. So there is no Chumrah for the Mazik. The Mazik actually gets off the hook. If I have a lot high properties and he has low properties, I go based on the Nizak, and the Mazik's off the hook. The Kav HaChomer LeHekdesh, me being the Mazik of Hekdesh, I have to pay a full amount to Hekdesh. That only makes sense if I'm also the Mazik, there's a Chumrah in the Mazik also in the world of Hedyot. But that's not the case, according to the suggestion. The Nizak, remember Machmer for the Nizak's perspective, which is a Kula for the Mazik. So therefore, that Kav HaChomer won't make sense anymore. And there's a third question the Gemara asks. V'yod ha'amar Ravashi. Ravashi has a first brisa that says, Tanya behedya, meitav sadeo, meitav karmo, yishalem, meitav sadeo shanizak, meitav karmo shanizak, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is all about the nizak. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, meitav sadeo shemazik, meitav karmo shemazik, you go based on the mazik. So why are we trying to cover up this other machlokas between Nizak and Mazik and to say it's really one machlokas if there's a first brisa that says that's exactly what they're arguing about? So we shouldn't have a problem with this. So in the end of the day, the Gemara says there are two machlokas in here. One is that they're arguing about, do you go based on the Nizak like Rabbi Shmuel holds, or do you go based on the Mazik like Rabbi Akiva? And question two is, the other point is, machlokas in general between Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and all the other Chachamim, does Hekdesh being Mazik Hekdesh, do you pay? Re'ehu, do you have to pay Hekdesh? Are you completely pater like most say? Or means you're pater from Chatzi Nezek, but you're chayav to pay Nezek Shalem in all situations of damage to Hekdesh? That's the second machlokas. Okay, the Gemara now says, four lines down, Ravina, Amar Liolam, Masnis, and Rabbi Kiva. So if you remember yesterday's daf, we had said that who authored the Mishnah? We said the Mishnah was really authored by Rabbi Yishmael, right? The Gemara wanted to know that when a person pays a meitav, he has to, it's tikkun olam. What's the tikkun olam? The pasuk says meitav sadeo. I need to pay the edus. Meitav means the best. So how could the Mishnah say it's only based on tikkun olam? So Gemara says really Rabbi Shmuel authored the Mishnah, and he held basically usually go based on the nizak. And now sometimes though, when the nizak's property is a much lower standard than the mazik's lower quality, so the mazik gets off the hook. So because of Tikkun Olam, we put a kenas on the mazik that the mazik's property is higher, you go based on the mazik's. Even Rabbi Shmuel will agree with the Rabbanon, you go based on the mazik's property. So that was the Tikkun Olam. So now Ravina takes a completely about face here. He says, no, really, say the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. But Rabbi Kiva holds the mazik pays the edus midiraisa. There's no Tikkun Olam there. That's what he holds the deraisa like we just proved. So he explains, Ma'asis and Rabbi Kiva, damar midiraisa, but the mazik shamin, and he holds, you go based on the mazik's Edus. So how come the Mishnah says Tikkun Olam? So this is according to Rabbi Shimon. In the world of Rabbi Shimon, who? Rabbi Shimon, who's Rabbi Shimon? The Darish Taima Dekra. He always learns reasons behind Pesukim. So Ma Tam Kamar. What's the reason why the Mazik has to pay from his best property? So Gemara says Ma Tam Hanizikin Shaman Lehu Beidus Mifnei Tikkun HaOlam. Tikkun Olam is not an institution with the Rabbanim. It's an explanation of why on a Deraisa level you have to pay Beidus. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Amru Rabbi Shimon mipnei ma Amru hanizikin shaman lehem beidus. What was the reason? Rabbi Shimon himself is saying this. What's the reason why they have to pay from the edus? So he explains because mipnei hagazlanim, mipnei hachamsanim, the people who rob. Gazlan and chamsan are different types of robbers. Chamsanim, according to Gemara in Baba Kama, I think it is, and Baba Metzia, that they steal something, but they put the money back in place. They justify their stealing by replacing it back with money. So, because of the Mipnei HaGazlan, Mipnei HaChamsonim, Kidei Sheyomar, Adam, person should say to himself, Lama ani gozo, lama ani chomes, why am I going to steal the guy's property today? Lamacha, what's going to happen tomorrow is, Bezdin Yordan Lich Nichsai, they're going to go down to my property, and Nolan Southern Nashali, they're going to take my best property, the highest quality, the Edis, the Medav, the Somchana Mashakasa Batorah, Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmo Yishalem. So they're going to therefore explain to themselves, it's not worth me taking the money now, because I'm going to lose my best property. Lafikach, Amru Hanizik and Shaman Lumbaidis, Vipne Ma,
That's answering. It's the answer.
Lefikach, I'm going to zikin, sham
lo
ba'ides,
some people
b'pnei
are going
mama.
to go and steal, and they're going to
Right.
always have to give it, if they have ziboris,
they won't care about it so much.
Right.
I have bad property, I'd rather get rid of it. Easier for me to steal and take it away from me than me have to go sell the property to somebody else. So I'll steal. But now that they know the best property is going to be taken away from them, this is going to hopefully deter them from stealing. So that was the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. So this is all a din deraisa, but tikkun olam is the explanation of the deraisa according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Then the Braisa continues to explain. Once we're on this topic, the Braisa says, why do we say that a Balchov collects, the bank only collects from the middle quality land, not the highest and not the lowest? I see my neighbor, he's got a very nice field, a very nice house. I'm going to encourage him, please take some money. I know he won't pay it back. So what's going to happen is, I'm going to pay him the money, he's going to default on the loan. I'm going to go ahead and collect this very nice field, this very nice house. We don't want banks taking advantage of people. So, lefika achamru b'chov b'beinus. You only take the beinus. You can't take the best property. So let them get the worst property. That's really going to deter him from doing something like that. Well, the concern is, if such a deterrent, then im kein atanol delas b'fnei lovin. So I'm not going to lend any money then, because if I know
it's the other way around, people always borrow money and not
exactly. So Gemara says, so therefore you have to have somewhere in the middle where they won't take advantage, but they're still willing to lend money and still collect something of value in return. What about Ksubas Isha? What's halacha there? So Ziboris Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Paskin that we have in the Mishnah, he must be the author of our Mishnah, you get the least quality land, the Ziboris. And Rabbi Meir Omer Bebenus, he argues you collect from the Bebenus. What's the reason for this machlokas? So Amar Rabbi Shimon Bnei Ma Amar Ksubas Isha Biziboris. Why does a woman collect only from the worst land? More so than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to get married, and therefore there's no incentive for her. She'll be okay whatever she'll collect in return. So therefore she'll be satisfied with the ziboris. Davar acher. Alternatively, we could suggest.
Right, because it's actually it's comparing it to it's not to neilas delas on the lowe, but here there's no reason.
Exactly. There's no reason, there's no incentive to say, I'm not getting married unless I get a good property in return. She doesn't care about the property so much. She just wants to be married. Davar acher. Alternatively, Isha yotze l'rotona shlo l'rotona. A woman could go out based on her ratzon, even without her ratzon, meaning it's not her choice to be divorced. However, va'ish eino motzi ela l'rotona. A man only divorces when he decides to divorce her. So, unclear, what's that second answer saying? My davar acher. How's that a second reason why she only deserves ziboris? So Gemara says, v'chitim, if you're going to ask, this is the Gemara explaining the reasoning of the Braisa. After giving the first reasoning of that woman is rather be married, she doesn't care about ziboris. And so on that, the Gemara asks, explains, v'chitim, g'yecha d'chi mafik la ihu takim le'rabanan k'subas minei, k'inafki ii nami l'skanei le'rabanan k'subas minei. So just like when he sends her off, he divorces her, that the Rabbanim were misaking a ksuba from him, when he sends her off, he has to pay almost a penalty, pay a ksuba. So too, when she, if you will, causes them to get divorced, the Chachamim should allow him to get something in return. He should also have schar. Whoever was the victim, let's say, for example, the one who was forced to get divorced, they should get some money back in return. So it should be fair game. So Gemara says, Toshma, Isha yotze l'rtona shlo l'rtona. A woman gets divorced, she really has no choice in the matter. She doesn't have any choice here. So therefore she has the lower hand, therefore she gets some ksuba. As opposed to Aish, ain't a motzi ela l'rtona. A man only goes according to whatever he wants to. He makes a decision, even though she may have started the whole fight and started them to get the divorce. In the end of the day, he calls the shots here, and therefore, since he's making that final decision, he does not get a ksuba in return, because as we know, efshel mishal le'begita, he could always hold back they get and never give it to her, so that shows to us that he has the upper hand here, and therefore he doesn't get any ksuba at all.
What do you mean? They say, meaning if she wants to leave, he cannot divorce. If he wants, he doesn't divorce
yeah,
her.
Yeah, exactly.
It's happening all the time.
Exactly. So we see here. So even if she does cause the whole discussion of a get, and ultimately maybe her fault, in the end, right. Since he makes the decision, there's no need to. He doesn't get the ksuba. Okay. The Gemara now says. Ksubas Isha Biziboris, the Mishnah told us that the Ksubas Isha collects from the least quality land. Amar Marzutra Bredir of Nachman Lo Amran Ella Miyasme. This only refers to collecting from the Yesomim. So in a situation where the father dies and the mother now, the widow, wants to collect the money, so she's only able to collect from her own children, the Yisomim. It could be other children also from a different marriage.
Doesn't the Mishnah already mention the Yisomim?
Yeah, but that was a different case. I think this is, that was Stam Yisomim. If Yisomim owned, there's some money owned, there's a Baal Chov collecting. This is now talking about the Ksuba of the Isha. It's only talking about a situation where she's trying to collect the money from the Yisomim. But in a situation, a regular situation, let's say Grusha, where she gets divorced, so Minedi Day can be Beinonis. She collects from her ex-husband, she does have the right to collect them Beinonis. So Gemara says, Ma Yirya Ksubas Isha. So why Dafka Ksubas Isha? Afilu Kol Mili Nami. This is your question. Daha Tanan Ein Nifran Minichle Yisomim Elam Misi Nibaris. So in general, we said, the Mishnah told us, as you asked, anytime you collect, whatever this reason is, whenever you collect money from Yisomim, you always collect from Ziboris. So why is the Mishnah specified now, according to this understanding, that also when a Isha collects her money after being widowed from the Yisomim, she also only collects from Ziboris? We know that already. That's the klal. We only collect, in general, in all cases, we only collect Ziboris from the Yisomim. So Elalav Minei. So what's that point saying?
Meaning that it's talking about him, not about the... Meaning that it's not talking about Yisomim.
Even when she gets divorced, she also only collects from Ziboris. Certainly when she's widowed, she only collects Ziboris because they're dealing with Yisomim. But even in a case where she's divorced, she could also only collect from her ex-husband from Ziboris. So Gemara says, Liolam Yasna, really is talking about only from the Yisomim that she collects from Ziboris, that from her ex-husband she would collect Beinus. So why do you have to specify the case of Ksubas Isha? Ksubas Isha, it's Tzirich Lei, we need to teach this case, specify this case, because I would have thought, Mishimchina Akil Be'Rabbanan Gava, because we want her to get remarried, we want her to have chayin in the eyes of men, which Gemara says many times, has to do with her just looking nice and having property and having money and looking dressed properly and put together. We want her to have that chayin, so she needs some better, more money or more quality land in order to sell it, whatever the case is. So maybe we should be makel for her even when collecting the Yisomim. Kamashulam, we learn from here. No, still nonetheless, we only collect from Ziboris in this case. Amar Abaye says, Toshma, what's Abaye coming to do here? He's coming to teach us. Rashi doesn't tell us here. I guess we'll find out. He's going to go against Marzutra.
Yeah.
Okay, Marzutra told us that she only collects Ziboris when collecting from the Yisomim. But if she's collecting from her divorce from her ex-husband, then she would collect from the Beinus.
The truth is that the logic behind the loans, it doesn't apply to Ksuba, because we're saying that the whole reason why you don't pay. This is because people are going to go and force like almost a loan to somebody who has a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
Then we say that's why it's called Beinus. Then you say no. Then let it be Ziboris. So no, because it's not Aldeles. But the bottom line is that even if there is no Aldeles, it should be. Why should it be Ziboris? It should be just Beinus, right? I mean, why would you say that it's Ziboris? Why would somebody who lends money should get the worst? She should get paid, honestly. It's fair.
What did you draw from Edis? Uh-huh.
And then in the case of the Ksuba, then we're basing our logical on Ksuba, we're based on the law. Whatever.
I mean, it's possible to say that even for Beinonis, people might take advantage of people's middle level properties. And therefore, they wanted to.
Yeah, it seems that Beinus is always like the fair way to go. It's like not doesn't hold one way or doesn't hold the other way.
We haven't seen that svara in the Gemara yet. In general, it's always good to take the middle path.
Right.
I hear what you're asking though. The Gemara says now Amar Abaye, the last few narrow lines. Amar Abaye says Tashma Hanizikin Shamin Lam Beidus.
Rabba, no.
I skipped. Amar Rava says, Tashma, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ksubas Isha Bebeinunis. He holds that Ksubas Isha is a Bebeinunis, like we said above. So, Miman, who is she collecting the Bebeinunis from? Ilema Miyasme, if he holds, even when she collects from the Yisomim, she's a widow, she collects from the Yisomim, she collects Bebeinunis. Lesley Rameir, does he not hold of the Klal, how the Tanan, the mission of the Ein Nifran, Menichse Yisomim, Elamini Ziboris, that when you collect from the Yisomim, you only collect Ziboris? So, Elab Minei, it must be talking about a situation that when she gets divorced, she'll collect from her husband, Beit HaMikdash. Michal, that implies that that's only according to Rabbanon, rather only according to Rabbi Meir. Michal the Rabbanon, but that implies the Rabbanon Savri Biziboris, that they called that you collect from the Ziboris even when collecting from the ex-husband after a divorce. So it seems like it's a machlokas. That which Marzucha said before was pashit across the board, sounds like it's actually a machlokas, that only Rabbi Meir holds you collect from Bibbanus, but Rabbanon, who were working with him, even by Rabbanon, you collect only from Ziboris, against Marzucha's assumption. Where's it low? The Olam Yasmi, really talking about from the Yasumim. And even Rabbi Meir thinks, even though you're collecting from the Yasumim, the Almana is allowed to collect Bainus against, different than any other case, collecting from the Yasumim. Vishani Ksubis Isha Mishim Chinim. Because of that chain, they're willing to give her the collect from Bainus. In general, someone who collects a Balchov, who collects from Yasumim, only collects Ziboris. There's the exception when it comes to the Isha, Ksubis Isha, when she's an Almana, because we want her to have chain, we want her to get remarried, we let her collect from the Bainus. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir.
And we say also that in general, Ktubas Isha from her husband is Beinus.
Exactly. I mean, there's no kashi according to Marzucha,
so,
still
so
stands.
The bottom line is that the machlok, that right. So everybody agrees that from the husband is Beinus, and you saw him, there's a machlokas, one with Chiyans and the other one with, no.
Exactly.
Chinyan and whatnot.
So now, Amar Bai, now Bai says, Tashma, he brings a rye from our Mishnah. Hanizik, Hanizakin, Shaman La, Beidis. Nezik, you evaluate based on Edis. Balchov, Bebenis, Ksubasisha, Biziboris, like we've been saying. Smiman. Who is she collecting Ksuba from that she collects Ziboris? Elaim, you ask me if she's collecting from the Yasomim. Like we said above, Mayiria, Ksubasisha, Filokohani Nami. Why does it have to specify Ksubasisha? We already said that everyone who collects, no matter why, everyone who collects from the Yisomim always collects Ziboris, so there's no need to specify Ksubas Isha as well. So it can't be talking about when she's collecting Ksubas Isha from the Yisomim. Elab Mine must be where she's collecting from her ex-husband after being divorced. And we see that she's collecting only Ziboris and not Beinonis like Marzucha suggested above. So it comes along, Amar V'acha Bar Yaakov, Hacha B'may Askinin, what are we dealing with right here? Kigon Shenasa Arev L'Nizke B'no L'Balchov B'no U'Luksubas Kalaso. Okay, what's going on here? Sounds like a complicated case here. So talk about a situation where the father became an Areva cosigner for the Nizikin of his son. So he said, he took upon himself, any damage my son will do, I'm willing to pay for it. And now what happens is the son dies. And so now the father owes money to the Balchov, to the bank. He owes money, the son owed money to the bank, let's say. So now the father is willing to take upon that responsibility. So now the father owes money to the bank. And also he owes money to the Ksubas Kala. So now his daughter-in-law, who is now a widow, so he has to pay the daughter-in-law the money of the Ksuba. He's willing to pay that. So, okay, so what's going on? Vahai kidina, vahai kidina. So they both collect the money from the Arev, who in this case is the father. Right. The Nezikin collects the Edis, the Balchov collects the Benis, and the Ksubas Isha collects the Ziboris. They all collect what they, like they would normally collect, the same quality land.
Like the same way as they wouldn't be Arab.
Right. So, okay, fine. That's the first point. And let's see a little further now.
I don't understand the question. What's the question here? Which is Amar Abayi Tashma?
The question from Abai was that when it says Ksibas Isha Ziboris, it can't be referring to where she's collecting from Yisomim, because all collections from Yisomim are Ziboris. So why they specify Ksibas Isha? It must be that even when you're collecting from the husband, the ex-husband, even then you still pay Ziboris, even after a case of divorce, which is against Marzucha. So the Gemara now is going on to a long discussion here of rejecting this last Raya here. So again, so this case is where the father takes upon himself all the payments, all the obligations that the son owes. The son dies, so he pays...
All the others also, if you would get from your son, you would pay Ziboris, so it doesn't... Right, so why specifically... Right, okay.
Okay.
I understand. Okay, here. So here we're bringing this Raya to what? This is a Kasha.
Right, we're, it's supposed to be a kasha, I think, on the rejecting the raya against Marzucha, a bias raya. We're trying to reject this. So we went through this whole discussion right now. We haven't rejected it just yet. And the Gemara says again, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Hocha b'may Eskidon kegon shenasa Ariv l'nitzkei b'no. A father becomes the co-signer of his son's damage, the Balchov b'no, looks to his kolaso, to all these responsibilities the father, the son had. Son dies, so now the father has to pay each of them accordingly. Haikidina. He pays the Baal Nezik and he pays Edis. The Balchov, he pays Benis and the Ksuas Isha to his kolaso. His daughter-in-law, he pays the Ziboris. Okay. So Nezik and Balchov, Dimechaim Gavu Ihu Nami Kimagvu Kimechaim. So when the Nezikin and Balchov, if they were alive, if he were to be alive, they would collect from their respective amounts, Beninus versus Aedis. So he throws, so the father also has to pay them like as if he was alive still. The Aedis and the Beninus. Baksubis Isha Dilachar Misa Gavya. That's only collected after the son dies. Ulaachar Misa Miman Gavi. Who's he collecting from after the death? It's Miyasme. He's collecting from the Yisomim. So Ihu Nami. So do the father. Nami ki migavu kalachar Misa Magvi pays back like Lachar Misa. And therefore, what? How is it proving the point here? Oh, that's the point. Okay. What we're saying, Ksubas Isha, that collects from the Ziboris, we want to say, it can't be talking about a case where you're collecting from the Yisomim, because it's Pasha. Whenever you collect money from the Yisomim, we know already you collect Ziboris. So why did it have to specify Ksubas Isha? So initially we thought, oh, what's the case of Ksubas Isha? It's when they get divorced, even when they're divorced, you collect only Ziboris. Right. And it's rejecting Marzucha. Whereas it's not talking about a case of divorce. It's talking about this wild case where the father is the arev of the son. So now, after the son dies, the father pays back the kolaso. So you would think maybe there the father should have to pay a beninus. I mean, the only time it generally pays ziboris is when the money comes from the yisomim. So if it comes from the yisomim, he pays ziboris. But since this case it's coming from the father, maybe the father should have to pay beninus. Comes the mission to tell me that no, when the father's paying, even when the father's paying, the father also only pays ziboris, and that's the case. And nothing to do with the case of divorce. There's no rejection at all to Marzucha. There's a case, again, a strange case of the son dying, but not the children paying, it's where the father's actually paying, and even then,
why
he only pays ziboris.
Such a strange case in our Mishnah, which is the first Mishnah of the whole...
No. I don't know, we've had things like that before. That doesn't bother me so much.
Okay.
Especially Marzucha has a statement, this is how he's able to retain his position. But yeah, I don't know, it's not such a... We have crazy cases in the Gemara. Okay, so that's how the Gemara gets... That's how Rabbi Zeira wiggles out of this kasha. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'tepik lei d'arev d'ksuba lo mishtabed. So wait a second. In general, we have such a concept that person does not serve as an arev when it comes to ksuva. So that's we're going to see this later on. So how could this work even? And therefore, you can't make such a case like this.
Did we learn that somewhere else?
No, Gemara is going to teach us later on in the Masechta. So that can't be the case. Marzucha can't wiggle out that problem. You can't create this case of arev to a ksuva. It doesn't work. We did not see this, no.
Funny that they didn't put it
I imagine the other halachas of ksuva. What?
Tomorrow
we'll find out about it. So, either way, you can't create this situation because we have a klal that an arev can never be you can never have an arev and a ksuba. It's
the father wouldn't be responsible.
Exactly. So you can't create that case. So Gemara says, no, the situation of bikablon. In a situation of a kablon, you can't have it. What's the case of a kablon? So Rashi says, bikablon shenasa le kablon. Shetvisa beno metaltlin le ksuvaso. Vi misartin liado betars kablonus viachzirasan le beno. So they created a situation of the son said this this property of mine is going to be the metalton, it's going to be the payment for the ksubas isha. I'm giving it to you, my father, to now that's the payment, I'm expressing that payment that's going to be hers, and then he gives it back to me to use, but it still has this shame that's almost like an apotiki, if you will, that in that case it's not really a arev anymore, it's not really a cosigner anymore. It's a situation where you really had set this aside as the point of payment. Okay, that's the case. So Gemara says, fine. So anich l'man damar kablon, that makes sense. The one who holds a kablon, afagav de lesle nichse l'love, mishtabit shapir, that kablon works even though there's no property. To the love was referring to the case of the woman would be the love. She's borrowing the money, I guess. No, maybe the husband's borrowing the money. Who's the love here? Ah.
The one who borrows in to pay back.
So how's this working out right now? That again. Aha. That the only way an Arev is willing to be an Arev, if the Love who he's backing up has property at that time to pay back. I'm not willing to back up some other guy who has no money because I know it's going to fall upon me. I'm only willing to do this if it's really an extreme situation where he loses his money, his business goes down. But that's the only way he's willing to do that. But Elaman Damar, but according to the opinion, the Damar Iyeslay Meshabe Ilesle Lo Meshabed. Sorry, other way around, I'm sorry. The first mandamar is that I'm willing to be a co-signer even if he has no money.
Right.
He's my son, I'm willing to do anything for him to help him out. But if it's in a situation where an Ari is only willing to step in if he knows that the guy right now has money, he just wants, the bank wants an extra security backup, so I'm willing to sign it. I know they're never going to default, never come to me. But if the guy has no money right now, I'm not willing to put my money on the line for this. So in that situation, then you're not willing to be a kablam. So how does this translate now into our case though? How come the Lova has no money here? Who's the Lova? The Lova, who's the son? Again, must be a situation here where there's no money to the Lova, because had the money, had the son had money, the Malva wouldn't claim from the father. He would claim from the son. So it must be a situation where the son has no money.
If the son, well, we're talking at the moment that he does the. How do we know?
Right. Look at Rashi.
I mean, 5 years before, and
that's what I was thinking. Also, right? Maybe at that time he had money, right. And 5 years later he lost all his money. So I was thinking the same thing. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Isle nichse lelove." Bishas hava, right? The moment of the loan. If the lova had money, that's a machlokas. Whether if let's say the lova had no money. That's a machlokas whether you could have an arif. Is an arif really willing to back up a guy with no money? So the ikla meimard alayhu samich ha'arif hazeh v'gamer b'shabe nafshe. So if he has money, then I'm willing to be the arif because it's not going to really fall upon me. Mishtabe says Rashi v'im shatvu ha'nahar acharkein. If let's say a flood comes, Hurricane Sandy, nifran min arif. So then now it turns out the lova lost all his money. So then the arif has to fill in. So my ikla meimard, how does this translate to our case now? It must be a situation where there is no property to the son. Why? Had he had property, he wouldn't collect from the Ariv. And it goes on to prove that point. But your question still stands. Maybe he had money at the time, but now he has no money anymore. There's a very, very big discussion in the Rishonim here. I don't see them asking this very question, though. But they are having different interpretations of this line here.
No, but it could be talking that the question could apply, meaning what we're saying is possible, but let's say he didn't have money at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So then it wouldn't work.
Correct.
So the question could be that. Could be that at that time he didn't have money. So what do we say? There is a possibility that when the son gave the father as a covenant, he didn't have money.
Right.
So then we have a kasha anyways.
Right, but we could say our mishnah is talking about a common situation where the son had money.
Right.
So we honest, it has to be a case where every single situation works of a son. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's see. So the Gemara ends up saying, so what's the answer? If you hold that the Arev is not willing to be an Arev if there's no money for the lova b'shas halva, so Michael, remember, what are you able to say? So Ibai Seima, one could say, b'dehavule v'shadev av. As we said, he had money, he has no money now. That was the answer. Okay, he had money and it was lost. And we read it two more lines, we would have gotten it. One more line. Ibai Seima, kol agave brei, shibude m'shabe nafshe. Anything that he has is m'shabe to him.
Yeah, meaning a normal person would only want to guarantee it if he has, but the father would even do it when he doesn't.
Exactly.
So this is actually proving that the case might be like Rav Chaya.